Great. Thank you very much. Let me call to order the Board of Directors Mobile Source Committee meeting. As you know, this meeting will be conducted under procedures authorized by Executive Order N29-20, issued by Governor Gavin Newsom. So with that, Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of April 22nd, 2020, Director Cutter. Director Haggerty?
Here.
Director Hudson?
Here.
Director Niss?
Here.
Director Mitchoff?
Here.
Director Rice?
Here.
Director Wilson?
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Ju? Here. Committee Chair Canepa?
Here.
Board Chair Sinks?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very, very much. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of March 25th, 2020?
So moved.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Roll call.
Roll call, please.
Director Cutter. Director Haggerty.
Aye.
Director Haggerty is an aye. Director Hudson?
Yes.
Director Hudson is an aye. Director Niss?
Aye.
Director Niss is an aye. Director Mitchoff?
Yes.
Director Mitchoff is an aye. Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Rice is an aye. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Wilson is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Ju? Aye. Committee Vice Chair Ju is an aye. Committee Chair Canepa?
Aye.
Committee Chair Canepa is an aye. Board Chair Sinks?
Aye.
Board Chair Sinks is an aye. The ayes have it. Motion carries.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. That brings us to item three, projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000.
Okay, thank you, Chair Canepa. Good afternoon, members of the Mobile Source Committee. For this first presentation, I'm going to begin by providing some background information on the Air District's grant programs. Marcy, could we have the next slide, please? Thank you. Information on the background information on the Air District's grant programs. I'll be describing the projects with proposed awards over $100,000. I'll also be reviewing the status of current year grant funds that are available. And lastly, I'll conclude with staff's recommendations. So next slide. So for background, beginning with the Carl Moyer Program and the Mobile Source Incentive Fund, the Air District has participated in the Carl Moyer Program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and it aims to reduce emissions from heavy duty engines with funding available to both public and private entities. The program is jointly administered by the California Air Resource Board and local air districts. The Mobile Source Incentive Fund is a local funding source for the Air District and was authorized by Assembly Bill 923 in 2004. It allows the Air District to collect an additional $2 surcharge on vehicle registration fees. These funds are used to fund projects that are eligible under the Carl Moyer Program guidelines. Next slide. In 2017, the Community Health Protection Grant Program was established by the State Assembly Bill 134, which appropriated from the state's Greenhouse Gas Protection Fund to local air districts to reduce emissions in AB 617 communities. In 2018, a Senate Bill 856 continued support for this program and allocated a $40 million to the Bay Area Air District for emission reduction projects that are eligible under the Carl Moyer Program, Goods Movement Program, and also some select stationary source projects. Next slide. In February 2019, the Board of Directors approved participation in year 21 of the Carl Moyer Program and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards up to $100,000. In April of 2019, the Board of Directors also approved acceptance of $40 million in SB 856 funds for the Community Health Protection Grant Program. Next slide. So today, staff is recommending six eligible projects with total proposed awards amount of $16.5 million in Carl Moyer Program funds. These projects will replace four pieces of airport ground support equipment, one agricultural loader, four pieces of off-road construction equipment, and 40 transit buses. In addition, three of these projects will also install electric charging infrastructure at the Port of Oakland, AC Transit's yard in Oakland, and the San Francisco International Airport. In total, these projects are expected to reduce more than 5.9 tons of criteria pollutant emissions per year. Additional information about these projects is available in Attachment 1, Table 1 of the staff report. Next slide. So next, just for background, the TSCA program is the Air District's oldest program. It was established in 1991, also funded by a $4 DMV surcharge on each vehicle registered in the Bay Area. And it provides funding for projects that reduce criteria pollutant emissions from on-road sources. Next slide. In April 2019, the Board of Directors approved an allocation of $32.3 million in TFCA funding for this fiscal year and authorized the executive officer to also sign contracts and amendments with awards up to $100,000. And since the last committee meeting, there are no proposed TFCA projects with grant awards requesting over $100,000. Next slide. So next, the reformulated gas settlement. It is also known as the RFG grant program, and it was created by an anti-class action settlement for clean air fuel and efficiency benefits for Californians. In November of 2017, the Air District Board of Directors authorized acceptance of up to $2 million from the Clean Air Foundation and authorized the executive officer to enter into agreements necessary to accept, obligate, and expend these funds. And actually, I think there might be another slide. Marcy, can you take us to the next slide, please? Yeah, since the last committee meeting, there are currently no additional RFG projects with grant awards requesting over $100,000. Next slide. So again, in summary, today staff is recommending awards of $16,471,194 in awards. Those are shown here with the little flags, the orange bars. With these projects, if they're recommended, the Air District will still have approximately $24 million available this year for eligible projects. Next slide. So just to review the funds that have been awarded, since July 2019, the Air District has awarded approximately $61 million, and this includes the projects that are recommended for award today. The largest project category for award is the on-road trucks and bus category, and this is mainly due to today's proposed recommendation to fund 40 transit buses and additional infrastructure to support them for AC Transit. Again, the $61 million awarded reflects funds from the Carl Moyer Program, Mobile Source Incentive Fund, the Community Health Protection Program, the TFCA Regional Fund, and the Reformulated Gas Settlement Fund. A complete list of all of the projects that have been awarded to date this fiscal year, including those that are recommended today, is included in attachments 2 and 3 of the staff report. Next slide, please. This slide shows the physical or geographical distribution of the funds. We see that the majority of the funds have been awarded to Alameda County, followed by Contra Costa and Santa Clara County, as well as San Francisco. And again, this reflects both the requirements of the grant funding sources, as well as the Air District's priority to prioritize funds on highly impacted communities, which are shown in the dark gray areas on this map. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned before, there's $23.8 million that still remain available this fiscal year for award. We continue to accept applications. This slide shows the list of all of the kinds of different program categories that are accepting applications today. So the kinds of programs that are still available include programs that would fund the replacement of both on and off-road vehicles and equipment, as well as light duty programs, such as a vehicle buyback and clean cars for all programs. And for those watching online, this table does have hyperlinks for each program if you'd like more information. So last slide, please. So in closing, staff requests that the committee recommend the Board of Directors to approve recommended projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000, as shown in Attachment 1, and authorize the executive officer to enter into all of the agreements necessary with applicants for the recommended projects. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Karen. Are there any questions from the board members?
Move the item.
Under infrastructure, install infrastructure, Port of Oakland, AC Transit, and SFO, Karen, what are we doing at San Francisco International?
Yeah, actually, that project involves airport ground support equipment and also supporting infrastructure. So let me just read you more of a description of that. So at SFO, so it's the purchase and installation of 42 ground service equipment electric charging stations at the terminal at SFO.
Anything so, at United Airlines?
I can go back and look. I know that there is a project with Alaska Airlines.
Okay, it's a question of I had to abstain last time.
Got it.
Like $2.5 million or something.
Yes.
I don't believe that this particular project is with United. So I think it is, as Karen had described, with Alaska. So one thing I just wanted to add, Mr. Chairman, before the committee votes here, is that this particular allocation is a monumental day for the staff. They're finishing the expenditure of the health protection grant 3 months ahead of the deadline, with 90% of that funding expended in AB 617 communities. So it's something we're extremely proud of, and they deserve a lot of credit for it.
All right, Ms. Nez?
So along that same line, because Damian has just mentioned, you know, 90% have gone into the health programs. Is that called health or community? It's, I think it was a slide just before we went back to the group.
Yeah, so it's the Community Health Protection Grant. It's one of the sources of funding that we receive to do the AB 617 cleanup.
Right. Right. So you said 90% of it is gone. What are you going to do with the last 10%? Are you trying to still reach out? Or my question really is, in this strange new world, how are you reaching out? And it has to be far more difficult.
Yeah. So just to clarify, I would say most of the community health protection funds are gone. I think the 90% reference was that 90% of those funds are actually, maybe we can go back to the geographic slide, Marcy. I think it's two slides before. That 90% of the funds, so it's more than what's required by the legislation. There we go. So these shaded regions are where we try to prioritize the funding, because those are identified as AB 617 communities. So 90% of the funds from the Community Health Protection Program went into programs in that area. In terms of what we're doing to reach out, that is a very good question. We actually, in the grants program, we are continuing to accept applications. Even though businesses are slowing down, and so their usage may be slowing down, their interest in grant funding has not quite slowed down. So it is an interesting experience to work with folks who are also working remotely. It takes a little more effort, but the staff are doing that, and we're able to move forward and continue, like I said, to accept applications and bring projects forward for your review and approval.
Thanks. I wondered, because I think this is all so awkward when we're trying to reach out, and you can call phone numbers. I also have realized, unless you have somebody's cell phone, you're never going to reach them, because companies don't seem to be answering their main line at all anymore. So it takes as we would call it, a real paradigm shift to go forth with this. And thanks for saying that. And I appreciate your continuing to push and you know, get to people who are out there and who are still needy. Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Haggerty.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I was going to move it, but now I noticed that Rod wants to ask a question, so I probably should not move the item.
All right, Mr. Sinks.
Thank you very much. happy to offer congratulations to staff to do this. I think this is consistent with the allocations we said we wanted to make in underserved areas, and so I'm happy to support this. I was curious to know if a vendor had been selected for these zero emissions buses in Alameda and Contra Costa Transit District.
So the way these programs work is that they do need to submit a quote. So to that extent, they have identified a vendor. That said, as long as, so what they're buying are 20 hydrogen buses, then 20 battery electric buses. That said, the AC Transit does reserve the right to change their mind and go with a different vendor. But as long as the buses are zero emission buses, it would be fine. So
right. Do we even know who's on the short list? I assume it's Proterra and some others. I was curious to know who was peddling hydrogen buses, or maybe we just don't have that knowledge. That's up to them.
Yeah, actually we do. I don't think Proterra makes hydrogen buses. They could be the, Damien, do you know?
More than likely it's Ballard, a company out of North America that supplied hydrogen buses to AC Transit before. And they also supplied the hydrogen buses for the Calgary Olympics. They've been a partner. Now, as Karen said, when we give these grants, we provide maximum flexibility, so it may not end up being those folks in the end.
Okay. And my understanding is for short haul, the EV buses work well, and for the longer haul, hydrogen is preferred. That's what I've learned. And so thank you. I was curious, and I'm in support of this item whenever Mr. Haggerty moves this forward.
Hold on 1 second. I need to ask a question. I'm sorry, where did you say the bus manufacturer?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Where did you say the bus manufacturer was located?
So Ballard is located in both North America and Canada, but they're not mandated to go with these folks. We're given the grant at the cost that they've submitted, and it will be up to them to go to their normal procurement and then come back to us, so we write those into the contract itself.
So the only thing that concerns me is in the past that, you know, AC Transit took a bunch of MTC money and was buying Van Hoel buses out of Holland or something, Amsterdam. And that was a tremendous waste of money on many fronts. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I would hope that our taxpayers' dollars would stay here. You say North America, I'm gonna say the United States. To me, I think that should be almost a requirement that you buy the buses here in the United States. I mean, we got a lot of people out of work right now.
So our current programs do not have a Buy America provision. For what it's worth, actually, this award of the vast majority of the funding, I think it's like $13 million of it, is actually going to go for the infrastructure. We're actually paying a very small, like maybe $100,000 per bus, give or take. It's a very small amount. The main amount of money, again, is for the infrastructure to support the electric buses. As well, the majority, as you identified, the majority of the funding for the buses itself will come from MTC using federal transportation dollars. And, you know, they have slightly different requirements, but they are the ones that are mainly kind of driving the purchasing decisions of the buses.
Well, do we trust MTC?
Well, I don't know. I just got out of a, you know, 5-hour conference call with them. I'm not sure we do. But I would say, based on your answer, I would say, you know, the only thing I think on when we start giving out large amounts of money, and it could be iffy whether or not it's Buy America, I think we should look at that. But having said that, I'll move the item based on the answer that I received from Karen.
Second, Hudson.
So Haggerty moves the item. Hudson seconds. May we have a roll call, please?
Oh, Was there a hand raised before I take votes?
I see. No, there was not.
There was not,
Marcy.
Okay. Director Cutter. Director Haggerty.
You're on mute, Scott.
Director Haggerty is an aye. Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Hudson is an aye. Director Niss?
Aye.
Director Niss is an aye. Director Mitchoff?
Yes.
Director Mitchoff is an aye. Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Rice is an aye. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Wilson is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Jew?
Aye.
Committee Vice Chair Jew is an aye. Committee Chair Canepa?
Aye.
Is an aye.
Motion is approved.
Board Chair Sinks?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. That brings us to item 4, Vehicle Buyback Program Contractor Selection. Karen.
Great, thank you. So for an overview, do we have the slides, Marcy? I don't know if I can see them. Okay, great. So next slide, please.
Hold on.
I'm going to just jump right into it here while Marcy's getting us there. So for an overview for the presentation, I'm going to just do a real quick brief background on the vehicle buyback program and also discuss recent request for proposals, the process that we use, followed by the results and concluding with staff's recommendations. Next slide, please. So for background, the vehicle buyback program. Marcy, can we have the next slide, please?
Something's wrong. Just hold on 1 minute.
You're doing great. Well, I'll just get started. The vehicle buyback program, it's a voluntary vehicle retirement program that basically takes older, high polluting, operable, and registered vehicles and scraps them and permanently takes them off Bay Area roads. For that, the Air District offers participants $1,000 for every eligible vehicle for owners to scrap their operable and registered model year 1996 and older vehicles. Beginning this July of this year, the Air District will be proposing to expand the program to include model year 1997 and older vehicles, and also to increase the payment to participants up to $1,200 for eligible vehicles. On a side note, staff continues to evaluate options for including motorcycles into this program, but we're not proposing to do that at this time. Next slide, please. So for this program, we rely very heavily on contractors who do a variety of tasks. They advertise and inform potentially eligible owners about the program. They answer questions from interested owners about how the program works and eligibility criteria. They review participants' qualifications and ability to file the DMV paperwork that's required. They also are the ones who cut the checks and reimburse vehicle owners for their eligible cars that are accepted into the program. And then of course, the dismantling companies, they scrap the vehicles that are accepted. Next slide. So in terms of funding for this program, the vehicle buyback program is supported by three different Air District funding sources: the Carl Moyer program, the Mobile Source Incentive Fund, and also TFCA program. Both Carl Moyer and Mobile Source are primarily used to pay for the incentive that is paid to the participant. So the $1,000 or soon to be the $1,200. In addition, the program has administrative costs and that include both marketing as well as the cost to actually send out the postage for all of the mailings that we do through the program. Those costs are typically paid for through the TFCA program. Next slide. So this slide is really fun. It shows the total number of vehicles that have been retired, model and the model year. Since the beginning, since 1996, and all of the different, in all of the different counties. And since the onset, the program has in total retired more than 87,000 vehicles, resulting in significant permanent emissions reductions. So over 5,000 tons of reactive organic gases, 4,300 tons of NOx, and 39 tons of particulate matter. And next slide, please. Next, I'd like to go into the RFP, the request for proposals process that was used to get us here. On February 3rd, the Air District issued two requests for proposals, one for dismantler and one for a company to provide direct mail services. For the dismantling RFP, the Air District mailed the proposal to 30 companies and posted the RFP on its website. This program seeks to purchase and scrap over 5,000 vehicles annually. It's a lot of vehicles. And so using the $7 million that has been allocated for this program in the Air District's annual budget. For direct mail services, the Air District mailed the RFP to 11 companies and also posted it on our website. This component of the program basically takes care of the printing and the mailing of approximately 23,000 pieces of mail twice a month, or potentially over 500,000 pieces of mail per year. The deadline for both of these RFPs was March 2nd, and proposals were evaluated by a three-person review panel between March 3rd and March 18th. Next slide, please. So for the dismantling component, we received two proposals. And these were, again, evaluated by a three-person review panel, and there were six criteria that were evaluated. And out of a maximum score of 100 points, pick and pull, company received an average score of 94.3 points, and environmental engineering, or EES, scored 88 points. EES scored lower primarily due to its higher overhead costs, which had to do with low cost of scrap metal, increased processing fees, and the fees that it pays to its subcontractors participating in the dismantling yard. So in other words, EES is kind of a middleman that subcontracts out with individual local yards and handles all the administrative requirements of this program on behalf of those yards. Both EES and Pick and Pull have experience successfully operating and providing dismantling services for the Air District's vehicle buyback program. They're the current dismantlers in the program. And to maximize the number of available locations and optimal geographic distribution for opportunities for folks to participate in the program, staff is recommending approval of both EES and Pick and Pull as contractors for this program. Next slide. So just as for a summary, EES and Pick and Pull, they operate a total number of 12 locations throughout the Bay Area. So anyone who wants to participate can bring their vehicle to any of these 12 locations. Six of them, again, are overseen by EES and six by Pick and Pull. And there are essentially two locations in San Jose, two in Richmond, and one in East Palo Alto, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, San Leandro, Newark, Oakland, Fairfield, and Windsor. Next slide, Marcy, please. Turning on to the direct mail services component, we received five proposals. These were evaluated based off the five relevant criteria for this project. And out of a maximum score of 100 points, direct mail services received the highest score with 90 points. So for that reason, staff is recommending direct mail services for the award of this contract. Last slide, please. So in conclusion, staff is proposing approval, board of directors approval of environmental engineering and Pick and Pull as the vehicle dismantler contractors and direct mail services for the direct mail service contract for the upcoming fiscal year for the vehicle buyback program. Also authorize the executive officer to execute contracts for vehicle scrapping and related services with EES and Pick and Pull for combined annual award up to $9 million, and direct mail services for vehicle buyback program with direct mail center for up to $300,000 per year. And finally, authorize the executive officer to extend these services and budgets for an additional 3 years at the Air District's discretion based off contractor's performance. This concludes this presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Are there any questions from the board?
I have a question, David. It's Katie.
All right, Katie.
Karen, thanks so much for the presentation. And I understand that we're just acting on these contracts, but with regards to the outreach, So if I'm understanding this correctly, basically the direct mail is sort of linked with the DMV as they outreach for a registration renewal. And so it's targeted to a certain year and class of cars that they figure would be sort of ripe for the program.
That's exactly right. We coordinate with the Department of Motor Vehicles to obtain lists that we're allowed to use for this purpose. So we basically just know that these folks have a vehicle that would qualify. It's at least 1996 and older. Soon we'll have to increase that list to add on 1997. And about 3 months prior to the registration being due, before they would have to smog their vehicle again, we send them a letter letting them know that there's an opportunity to participate in this program. It's actually one of our most effective outreach mechanisms. There's additional outreach that's happening, I would say, that's very broad and general about the program. But the ability to directly target owners of the vehicle is very effective.
Right. No, and that was actually going to be the next one of my questions. What other kind of outreach do we do? Though I can see how that would be really effective, having that insert aligned with your registration mailing. On the other hand, a lot of people are doing vehicle registration online, though they get the notice often in the mail. I was just curious, but you're satisfied that the, let me rephrase. My question was, is there other outreach? Do we use social media? Are we also knocking on people's doors, maybe even advance of them getting that registration trigger? I'm just curious as to how broad our outreach is.
Yeah, we do not knock on people's doors, but like I said,
well, I meant knock on their virtual.
We do send them a letter to their home, to the address where the vehicle is registered. And it's 3 months in advance of when their smog is due. So it would be before they get their notice to register. So they're basically getting a letter letting them know, look, you have a vehicle, it qualifies for this. If you don't want to deal with re-smogging the vehicle, here's an option. In the next 3 months, you can bring the vehicle using your current smog certificate. And you just retire the vehicle this way. I will tell you, maybe just a little plug for the Clean Cars for All program. Anyone in the Bay Area can participate in this program, but if you meet the low income requirement for the Clean Cars for All, that program basically, this program feeds into that program. So they are doing a lot of direct outreach, both in-person outreach, well, maybe not so much today, but they do a lot of social media, in-person outreach and other kinds of communications to folks to let them know that they can participate in this program, in the vehicle buyback program. But then also, if they qualify, there's an opportunity to actually replace this vehicle with a zero emission or cleaner vehicle or transit pass through the Clean Cars for All program. So there's a nice nexus there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Thank you.
One of the tools that we are using is we're using both Facebook and YouTube ads, knowing that our population are kind of closer to home now. So that has been helping to keep our numbers up in the vehicle buyback program and in the Clean Cars for All program, even though people don't have that ability to go to dealerships right now.
Are there any additional questions from any board members? Well, I do have a question. Karen, how many people do we apply for this each year? Do we turn people away?
So I don't have an exact sense of how many people get turned away. I will tell you, it's not competitive. And basically, if you have a car that is roadworthy, meaning it's got the mirrors, it can drive, it can propel itself, if you can get it to a vehicle buyback center, and you've owned that car for at least 2 years, and the car has a current smog certificate, you qualify. So there's not really any additional hoops. The program is meant to be very streamlined and very easy to participate in. And like I said, we're retiring 5,000 or more vehicles per year. It's gone as high as over 7,000, I think. So, what we have done over time is that as we see that we have really reduced the inventory of cars that are available, we start to see if we can continue, if we can raise the model year acceptance. And so that's why you're seeing us look at that, because we want to make sure that we are making emissions reductions, that we're making good progress there, but that we also have a good inventory of cars that would be eligible. Because what we do see is that the older cars, they're not driven and they're kept around for other reasons. They're not people's primary car, they're collectors. And I will add that we've gotten quite a bit of colorful mail over the years, people reacting to our offer to sell their car for $1,000. I wouldn't say that we turn people away if the vehicle is in operable condition. I would say that not everyone is ready to turn their car in, even though it's older.
Yeah, the reason, let me tell you the reason I asked that. I mean, obviously we're living through a pandemic. You know, the district I represent is pretty much working class people, you know, and people are, you know, they're trying to just get by, right? Some of them. Do you think that there's going to be more demand for people to get rid of their cars? And are you prepared for that? Or is the organization we're contracting, are they prepared for that?
I would say that they are set up to deal with higher volumes. These are actually companies that are accepting all of the heavy duty equipment that's being recovered through the programs that you award funding to. So some additional light duty cars, I think they can handle additional vehicles. If we're able to get more, we do have funding available to handle that as well. I am not aware of any time that we've actually been so oversubscribed that we couldn't afford to keep the program going on a continuous basis. What might actually happen is a different thing. Something that happened 10 years ago is, which was one time where we did actually pause the program, was in the last recession, there was a huge infusion of funds for the Cash for Clunkers program. Yeah, and so that program essentially competed with our program. And so we actually just stopped our program, and vehicles continued to be accepted through the Cash for Clunkers program. And then once that funding went away, then we reopened and reinitiated our intent to pay for vehicles so that there wouldn't be double paying, if you will, for vehicles.
Okay, thank you. You know, I see Mr. Haggerty's hand is up. You know, Madam Clerk, I do not see on my my participant list, I do not see Chair Sink's name. So why don't we go to Mr. Haggerty, and then maybe Jess can help me in terms of getting that panelist, Rod Sink's name up there, or Chair Sink's name. Mr. Haggerty.
So I was just going to move the item.
Second.
Before we do that, are there any other members who have questions?
Rod's right for what it's worth.
Can't do that. Pardon me?
Rod's name is right above Tyrone and below Rex Sanders.
And okay. I'm here. Yeah. I don't have that nice background that Hudson does.
He's turned off his video.
There's a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Cutter? Director Haggerty?
Aye.
Haggerty is an aye. Director Hudson?
Aye.
Hudson is an aye. Director Nis?
Aye.
Nis is an aye. Director Mitchoff?
Aye.
Mitchoff is an aye. Director Rice?
Yes.
Rice is an aye. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Wilson is a aye. Wilson is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Jew.
Aye.
Jew is an aye. Committee Chair Canepa.
Aye.
Canepa is an aye. Board Chair Sinks.
Aye.
Board Chair Sinks is an aye. We have a motion carries.
Good. Yeah. All right. Good. That brings us to item five, fiscal year ending 2021 transportation fund for clean air community program manager expenditure plans. Karen.
Great, thank you. And for this last presentation, Marcy, if we could just jump maybe to the second slide, the overview. During this presentation, I'll be providing information on the Transportation Fund for Clean Air County Program Manager expenditure plans, including information about the County Program Manager program and the requirements related to expenditure plans, and finally conclude with staff's recommendations. Next slide, please. So as you've heard today, the TFCA program was created in 1991 and it's funded by a $4 DMV surcharge. The legislation requires that 40% of the funds from the TFCA program be passed on to the 9 county congestion management agencies. And we refer to that program as the County Program Manager program. It also requires the county program managers or CPMs to submit expenditure plans to the air district, reporting both prior year funding that is available for reprogramming and any interest that's accrued over the past year. Next slide, please. And another point I didn't mention in the last slide was just that the CPMs must also award their funds using air district approved policies. And these policies were approved by the board in November 20th of 2019. So this next chart that you see here shows the proposed allocation of TFCA funds for each of the 9 county program managers this next fiscal year. And the staff is seeking board approval on the allocation of the estimated new TFCA funds. And those are shown in the column shaded in blue. Again, these funds are estimated based on new revenue that is projected to accrue from each county's proportionate share of DMV fees that are collected through the 9 counties. To the right of that is the column showing the counties, each of the counties' funds that are available for reprogramming. So these are funds that are currently available in each of the county's accounts, and the funds come from projects that were previously canceled or completed under budget and any interest accrued. And then the last column, which is shaded in green, is the sum of the previous two columns and shows the total amount of TFCA funds that are projected to be available to each of the CPMs in fiscal year ending 2021. Next slide, please. I'm pleased to get to the last slide here. In conclusion, staff requests that the Mobile Source Committee recommend the Board of Directors approve the allocation of the new Transportation Fund for Clean Air revenue for the County Program Managers in fiscal year ending 2021, as listed in Table 1 of the staff report, and authorize the executive officer to enter into funding agreements with the CPMs for the funds to be programmed in fiscal year 2021, as listed in Table 1 of the staff report. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All right. I don't see that there are any questions. There's a motion. There's a second. I've got a roll call, please.
Yes, I missed who seconded.
So my understanding is Hudson made the motion, and then who seconded?
Director Wilson.
Director Wilson.
Thank you. Okay, Director Cutter. Director Haggerty?
Aye.
Haggerty is an aye. Director Hudson?
Aye.
Hudson is an aye. Director Nis?
Aye.
Nis is an aye. Director Mitchoff?
Yes.
Mitchoff is an aye. Director Rice?
Yes.
Rice is an aye. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Wilson is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Ju?
Aye.
Committee Vice Chair Ju is an aye. Committee Chair Canepa?
Aye.
Canepa is an aye. Board Chair Sinks?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Motion carries.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. That brings us to item 6, public comment on non-agenda matters. Madam Clerk, do we have any public comment?
I do not have any. Vanessa May.
There is no additional public comment.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sanders. That brings us to item 7, committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments?
I have a committee member comment. Katie, David.
No. Committee member. Oh.
Didn't you say committee members?
Yes, I did.
Hey, I just want to make note, we should make note of Earth Day 2020.
Great.
On this mobile source committee. And just a comment that, you know, one of the interesting aspects of having our entire, most of our economy shut down is that the air is a little bit clearer, and springtime, we're really hearing the birds sing. And as even been, the geologists are noticing how the Earth's crust is even vibrating less because our collective human footprint and level of activity is so subdued. Anyway, it's I just want to make note of Earth Day 2020, probably maybe never more important as it focuses on climate action, but also maybe resonates more here in the United States and across the globe as we all feel that much more connected as we deal with this COVID-19 crisis. And hopefully we'll approach the climate crisis with the same fervor and attention and global interest in addressing as we are with this COVID crisis, because we certainly have not jumped on board the way we need to as a global community in the past. So that's it.
Thank you. Wonderful comments. Thank you. Are there any additional comments?
I do, David. If you haven't received the notice yet, and Brian may want to comment on it, AMA's been pretty much canceled. I guess there's some virtual thing that's going to go on. You know, it's a darn shame too. It's like all of them are getting canceled. I guess if you want to stay with this, you're going to have to stay on the board till 2022. Might get another shot at it. Any comments?
Well, the presidency is apparently a 5-year commitment. So what we are doing is we're moving ACE 2020, the annual conference and exhibition, to be a virtual meeting. And what we're working on is how to live stream some of the key elements of it. But then we will be in Orlando next year. We already have contract commitments in Orlando for next year. But ACE 2022 will be back live face-to-face in San Francisco at the Hyatt Regency. So we were able to negotiate with the hotel and make sure that we're protecting the staff and attendees and volunteers of the organization. And I think it's a win-win. But look for an announcement, and I hope you're all still interested in participating in the virtual version. Thank you.
Wait a minute. I didn't realize this. You mean to tell me I've got 3 more years to convince you to join me on the beach here?
My influence wanes considerably after next year. I just have work.
All right. Any additional questions or comments from community members?
Happy Earth Day.
Pardon me?
Happy Earth Day.
Yes. Very good. Rod, do you want to say anything as our chair? Do you have any?
I just really appreciate Katie's remarks, and I cannot do better than that.
Sure. Yeah, you can. We know you can. All right. That brings us to item 8, time and place of next meeting is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. At 11 a.m. via webcast pursuant to procedures authorized by the executive order N2920 issued by Governor Gavin Newsom. And so I wish you all the best. Have a great day. Have a great week. And we'll adjourn. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you all. Jeff Thomas, we stay on board for climate protection?
Yes, stay on this call. And we're
David.
We're clearing the webcast right now. Give me just a moment.
I think I'm going to adjourn to my outdoor office.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know I'd get 3 more years at this, Brian. Hilton Hawaiian Village is cleaning up for you. They're closed.
Jess, are we clear of the webcast?